Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 24 of Animation Station. This is Tracy, doing a terrible introduction. This week, we're reviewing the 1994 German neo-noir/thriller film, Felidae, directed by Michael Schack with two A's, that's how you know he's German. Be forewarned, this episode features explicit language and adult situations involving sex, murder, and violence. If you're uncomfortable with any of that, you might want to skip this episode. Don't worry, we're not going to get offended, we still love you. Robbie and I had a ton of fun reviewing this one, and we didn't censor any of our language, so if you've never heard the two of us banter off the cuff before, oh man, you are in for a treat. We kind of go to town on this one, so. If you have any requests or comments, please feel free to contact us on Twitter. Our handles are @lobster_writer for Robbie, and @TCTroush for Tracy. Thank you for listening, and enjoy this week's episode, Felidae.
I was happy here. Unfettered and free, living the life of contentment and luxury, sucking on bones, sipping white wine, a superior cat, proud and divine. Feel it in. Feel it in.
All right, so, hey guys. Today we're talking about Felidae.
Yes, Felidae.
Yeah. Felidae, which is a 1994 animated German movie. And as you may expect of the Germans, it's pretty messed
love
up.
Love where you're going with this, number one. And you're not wrong.
I'm German. I can talk about how messed up Germans
I'm also
are.
German. I'm a mutt.
I think I...
we can say
that half of my heritage... like, gives me some license.
You have some clout. Like, you enjoy a good plate of sauerkraut and sausage and whatever the hell they also eat. I feel like you would. Not so Chicago thing. Like, Polish sausage. Like, you know, we're supposed to like it, so.
It's
okay. I'd rather have a burger, but that's just me, so.
Yeah, well.
Yep.
I mean, I like a sausage. Good sausage, but who doesn't?
We should probably mention this review will probably be a little
Anywho,
bit
so the...
profane, I suppose, is a fair word to use.
Yeah. So this is a German animated film, and it's more adult themed than anything we've tackled, in the sense that it deals explicitly and unabashedly with sex and violence.
That is putting it lightly, my friend. It is downright disturbing because of the amount of, like, gore and just weird sexual content that you see, all involving cats, by the way.
So
we are not holding back because this movie did not hold back.
No, it really kind of didn't. It was just, like, in.
I liked it better for that reason, though, because it was like, wow, if they're going to go, they went all the way. And I'm like, you know what? I respect you guys for that. You're disturbing and you're fucked up in the head, but I can't deny that it was a very effective message.
Yeah. So if that, like, bugs you at all, then, you know, you'll want to give this one a miss.
Also, if you're a child and you've listened this far into it, I'm so sorry. We try to censor ourselves at least a little bit or make it more family-friendly, but this is not the movie for you. This is definitely not intended for anyone under the age of, like, 17, 18, I would say. I mean, like...
Yeah, no, it's a hard R.
Oh, yeah. I gave Robbie that exact disclaimer, like, by the way, this movie's a hard R. So if you want to do it have to just, like, lay it out for everyone to know. So this is your disclaimer. From here on out, it's just going to be a bunch of, like, weird, nasty, disturbing talk. So all involving cats. So, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. So, So that Felidae. I was thinking about this, like, it's really funny because this movie's like, it's 78 minutes.
It's no more than 90 minutes. I think it's like 84. It's skirting right around Little Mermaid time, I would say.
No, because the YouTube video is an hour 18.
Is it? I thought it was like an hour. Hold on. I've got the IMDb open. I mean, like, either way, it's a pretty short movie.
It's a short movie, but it's amazing, like, it moves so quickly. Which is funny, because I'm taking a class right now about American realism, and those books are like 600 pages, and nothing happens. So it's great to have something that's the exact opposite. Small time frame and everything.
And it knows that it needs to condense down all this material, not just because it's an animated feature and how long they take to produce, but just it's a very well thought out and very maturely done noir movie. It's all from the perspective of like these murders that happened in a neighborhood in Germany somewhere that are all cats.
Yeah.
My voice just cracked there. I'm sorry. Puberty.
They're all cats. They're all kitty cats.
By the way, the poster for this movie is so misleading.
Is it?
I mean, it's literally just a picture of Francis, like who's the main character, who's like this black and white, kind of like a tuxedo tomcat or tabby, whatever his name is, or like whatever kind of breed it is, mm-hmm. just like in front of what looks like a moon or like a circle, like just this golden thing, like him looking to the side like, I'm on an adventure. And it's like, no, you're not, Francis. You're about to see a bunch of horrible things happen to all your friends.
Yeah, well, what I think is, what I realized, like, is it gets progressively worse.
Yeah, I mean, like, within the first 10 minutes, you see a cat with its throat clawed out. I was like, fucking
well, yeah,
hell, man.
Well, so, like, right away, like, okay, so, like, right away, he moves in, and then he finds this cat hanging out outside his house, and they find a dead cat. And so you've got the throat slit. And you're like, oh, that's messed up. And, like, okay, that's fucked up. Fine. The next day, they find another one, and not only is its throat slit, but you actually get to see, like, the detail of, like, clearly this was done by claws.
Yeah. Like, you see every...
So, like, you see, like, multiple tears in its neck.
Like, every, like, flesh tear, like, it's like ribbons. It's so horrifying. Like, and this is...
And then,
like, I don't even know...
This is, like, 20 minutes in, tops?
If that, tops. Like...
Yeah, again, like, this movie
is
just...
like, okay, within the first 15 minutes, he moves into this shitty-ass house in the middle of, like, some kind of town. Like, it looks basically like they had bought, like, for sale one spooky haunted mansion, like, for the... Like, seriously, it's like, it was like, all
for
it made
sale,
me think of was, like, the
lab,
Monster Mash.
Former owner, deranged
exactly.
madman.
Exactly. And, like, okay, so he moves in, gets, like, accustomed to, like, this very, like, spooky-ass house that no man in their right mind would have paid much money for, because it's, like, it's obviously just, like, it seems like someone would have died in there, which is why I assume it was so cheap, and we later realize that's incredibly true. So, and also, like, he gets a very, like, Francis, the main character, he's very aggressively, like, I don't want to say, like, hit on, like, basically he is rape threatened to him by this one, like, very boisterous sexual predator cat named...
Oh, Khan! Yeah. So, like, Well, so, like, immediately he meets this bobcat.
Oh, yeah,
almost,
well, no,
because
there was Bluebeard, that was the one that was like, I'm rough and tumble,
Bluebeard.
I would be played by... I'd be played by, who's the guy, Sam Elliott, if I was in any other movie.
Yes. I loved Bluebeard.
He was great.
My favorite. He was just this bit, he was just like
I
tank
like Felicity
of a cat
too, but we'll
with,
get to
like,
her later.
Yeah. But so like he's like he has rape like threatened upon him by Khan, who is like the size of a great
Dane.
It
looks like if someone had tried to like shave some of the hair off of a panda, but gave it like a super fucked up like Wolverine kind of face or something. He's got like a squarish jaw. Like I would never expect to see that on a cat. Like he's not a Maine Coon. He looks like something had horribly happened to him in an animal testing lab. Turns out a lot of them have.
Well, and that may be.
So.
Yeah, I was gonna say that might actually.
Yeah,
be the
it's
case
like
because but...
his body makes no sense because like if Francis is supposed to be a standard tabby. This cat is easily the size of like a bulldog. I would say.
He might be. I mean, built.
He's stocky
thing,
as
right?
fuck,
like,
man.
He's built. He's stocky, but he's huge. Like he's built. He's bulldog built, but he's like bigger. He's like the size of.
Yeah,
like,
it's
Greyhound,
crazy.
But built like a. If you
can
imagine,
I mean, like,
that.
And
imagine
it's, they're all cats. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. So they find two murders. Bluebeard insists that they're done by humans, which, by the way, wasn't a thing that made sense to me at first. It took me a while to realize that when he said can openers,
yeah,
he meant
like
people.
That can openers is slang for like, oh no, because I when he first said it, I thought he literally meant that someone had killed this cat, like slit his throat with a can opener, because that would make more sense to me. Until Francis is like, oh yeah. No, well they wouldn't do that. It's like, this couldn't be done by a can opener. These are claw marks. And it's like, Francis, number one, you're taking this murder thing pretty lightly after like the first one. Like, he kind of gets freaked out, but then eventually he's so desensitized by seeing more and more cats getting murdered. I was like, what?
Seriously.
Like, okay. I can't even, okay.
I can't even.
I'm sorry, I had to get at least one in. But yeah,
oh,
like, it turns out it's this weird conspiracy that's going on in this entire neighborhood. Like, as the story kind of progresses, I think, is there something that happens before Francis meets Felicity? Like, I know he's getting pursued or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, what happens before then?
So, immediately after he moves in, he finds the first body, Francis starts having
dreams. Oh my god. Oh god, the nightmares.
And so I think it's that first night when he has the dream about the faceless
man. Yeah,
like
the guy that looks like the vet or something. He tries to give him a collar and then it turns into a chain and he tries to literally pull him down into hell.
Yeah, exactly. And these nightmares are like clear allusions to other parts of the movie. That you'll
yeah, it's
see,
all
like,
foreshadowing. Like it's it, we don't realize it until later because that's why the man doesn't have a face when he's first pulling Francis down. Like when he has his first nightmare, because we later realize
yeah.
exactly who that character is. It takes like I think like
exactly.
20 minutes or something. But
it takes actually a surprising amount of time.
Yeah,
but also like
well, they wanted to build up the suspense, and I appreciated that. So.
Yeah, well, it takes more and less time than you think.
Yeah, that's true.
Right, like, it's super weird, the pacing of this film.
Yeah, it works.
But I love
but,
it.
Yeah, no, it's great.
So he has that dream, I think, which wakes him up, and then he goes, he hears something upstairs in his house.
Yeah.
Which, like, by the way, right, so like,
Tracy
oh, said,
yeah. I know.
This whole place is, like, super messed up and in awful condition, and his owner just, like, barely does anything.
He's
to,
such
like,
a doof. Like, or just like, oh, Francis, dumbly dumpty doo. I'm gonna go repaper this bathroom. It's like,
yeah,
you understand that there are animals killing themselves in your attic, right?
Nope. No idea.
Yeah, that's what Francis hears. Do you want to get into that bit?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, Francis goes upstairs and he looks in and he sees, like, a whole congregation of cats literally being preached at.
It's
like,
it's a goddamn cult. That's what it is.
It is. He goes and he looks at them from the attic, and he sees the cats are walking into, like, I don't know what the device is.
I think,
but, like,
it looked like it was some kind of, like, electrical turbine, almost like they had taken part of, like, okay, like, so the cats are basically electrocuting themselves as though they were
yes.
trying to go to Valhalla or something, but I was trying to figure out what the actual device was. Here, let me bring up the Wikipedia, because I want to know what it's called. As I know I've seen that thing before.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, like, you've seen it in any kind of, like, Frankenstein parody, where they've got the two giant, like, things with the lightning going between them.
Yeah, yeah, like those, I don't know.
I don't know what it's called either, but that's what's going on there, and these cats are walking in there. And I guess they're not dying, but
I just don't know how long was
sure
that machine
as hell
up there.
Look like it.
like how yeah. long was it up there for them to realize, like, hey, we can sacrifice ourselves through ritualistic suicide? Like,
well,
oh my god! Like, it must have been some kind of like, maybe it was part of the machine that they ended up using later, like within the animal testing lab. Like they just like repurposed
yeah, I assume
that's what it was.
I think any, like, anything like that in that movie is related to the animal testing lab.
Yeah, that has to be it. Like,
which, yeah, that's what one of the things we ultimately find out is that this house used to be, like, an animal testing lab
mm-hmm.
for something.
It was Dr. Praetorius.
Yes.
Who he was, I guess, like, he was trying to develop a bonding glue that would heal any kind of flesh wound. And
yes.
this was right around that time before people really kind of started to crack down on animal testing. We're still not really there yet, but this is back when, like, it was kind of blatant how much people were, like, going through animals and stuff. Like, you know, like how they would be testing makeup on rabbits or, like, on they would make monkeys smoke cigarettes, like, stuff like that to see what the effects would be. And
right.
it was so horrifying because you see every incision that goes into these cats, like, seeing their fur get shaved off. Like, having, like, the insides of their brains boil out because of all these bad batches that aren't working on them. it's so horrifying because
it's messed up.
Like, if I saw this in real life, like, I would just start puking because I've such a bad thing with, like, you know, just like gore, especially involving animals. I can't do it. I hate it.
Oh yeah.
It's so repellent to me, and I hate it so much. I don't like seeing animals in pain, and like, just watching the movie was so crazy. Like, oh my god! Like, just how graphic it got. They just wouldn't stop. Like,
no. Well, so then we're jumping ahead a bit, but so like he sees the congregation, and then they see him, and they start chasing him, and so he runs away, and ends up hiding out in the apartment of a blind cat.
Oh, she's
my
so cute.
Fave.
I
was
loved
really
her so
sad
much.
When they're like, this is what. See, now this is one of those things about this movie that like threw me right away. Is like you meet her, and then in the next 5 minutes, she's dead.
Yeah, it has to be. I call it the Joss Whedon school of writing, because all your favorite characters end up getting killed almost immediately. Like they, oh god, I was so sad to see her go.
But so this is.
Well,
oh, I'm sorry, go on.
Yeah.
This is what I was saying. It's like it gets ratcheted up each time. So when we find Felicity dead, she's beheaded, and like you see the head separate from the body.
Yet you see the actual, like, brainstem and part of her spine that's still attached to it, casually tossed on the ground with her eyes completely open, even though the cat is blind. We should probably mention that. Like, Felicity was blind because she knew too much about, like, what was going on with this whole cat murder thing. Or, like, she knew enough to the point that
it was so that's why she was killed. She was blind because of the animal testing lab, in all likelihood.
Yes, but she was killed because of what she knew. God, that poor thing. Like, her eyes are, like, wide open, and her mouth is open like she's screaming, and it's so creepy.
Yeah, it's super...
I felt so bad for her.
And then, I think that... around that time... well, at that time... So when they find... Before they find out Felicity's dead, and this is how Francis finds out, he meets this cat called Pascal, who's super smart, who has a catalog of all the cats in the neighborhood.
Ha! Ha!
And he can use a computer. And so that's how he finds out Felicity's dead, and they start hanging out.
Yeah, because Pascal, actually, he's got a database of every single cat that lives within their neighborhood, down to, like, what breed they are, their age, where they live, everything. It's kind of creepy. Like, should have raised more of a red flag at the beginning, in my opinion, but, you know. Yeah, that's fine.
So then I think he has a nightmare about Gregor Mendel?
Yes. That one, or I think, when does that one happen?
You know, I'm not sure, but I know that, like,
I feel like they happen pretty closely. I think you're right, because then after that, is when he starts to notice, like, more consistencies of what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, the Gregor Mendel one, I think, is the next one.
Yeah, so, like, he has this nightmare about Gregor Mendel in which, like, he's surrounded by dead cats, and Gregor Mendel literally, like, marionette puppeteers dead cats around him. Yeah. And that is horrifying.
Oh my god. It was, like, the first time I saw it, it freaked me out so much. Like, so, right, so, essentially, what goes on during this nightmare is that Gregor Mendel is, who, if you're not familiar with him, like, he's one of the he's one of the founding members of, like, genetics, like, the study of genetics as we know it, about, like, crossbreeding and cross-pollinating plants in order to create a more superior plant, you know, like, the survival of the fittest, but basically directly engineering it. And what happens is that they make him into this, like, really disturbing, grotesque caricature, and he's puppeteering all of these cats to the point that you see them get disemboweled, or, like, they're disemboweled, like, they're only being supported and held together by their intestines, and eventually those separate off of the rest of their bodies, and you see all this stuff just, like, separating, and Francis is in an entire, like, basically, like, a graveyard/dump of just dead cat bodies everywhere. It's so horrifying. It's so unsettling, especially because he's laughing.
Yeah,
the
Gregor
Mendel's
just having a great day.
Yeah, exactly. It's always great when you're, you know, destroying lives.
And then he finds out about the whole lab thing and these experiments.
Yeah, he kind of has, like, an epiphany after that, really.
He goes down. He's stressed out. I get, because there's a bunch of dream sequences, and then there's, like, things that happen between. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, like, I know that he goes hunting, like he goes to hunt mice or rats as a way to relieve stress. And when he does that, he stumbles on the videotapes of the lab.
Yes, and that's how he learns more about who the doctors were, and who Claudia Dandis was, which was like
you can say.
Okay, well, like so, basically, Claudia Dandis is this figure among all the cats within that neighborhood because he was one of the. I think he was like one of the premier cats that was like where the bonding glue that was used for flesh wounds worked on him. But he would keep getting tested on.
Yeah, well, so this is what happens is like the cult he meets is called the Claudandis sect.
Yes, that's right. It's led by Joker, who's the gigantic bulldog.
No, cat. That's a different cat.
I think. Well, wait, so then, who's Kong?
Kong's the bulldog cat. Oh, no, that's Joker is a different big cat.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Joker's the other one that gets killed.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Kong doesn't get killed until later.
Kong doesn't get killed.
Really? I thought he did.
Nope.
Oh, okay, well, never mind.
he makes it out.
Oh, God.
His girlfriend dies.
Yeah, oh, my God. Like, where, like, they actually, like, that was...
We'll get to
that
it.
Was so... Yeah, okay, yeah, you can do that one. I don't want to describe all these cat
calm
murders.
Calm down. There's so many more cat murders.
oh, don't worry. We've got plenty of bloodshed for you.
And some for you. And for you.
Everyone gets a spoonful. Anyway.
Giving out bloodshed like Oprah. Oh, God.
You get bloodshed. You get bloodshed.
You get that cat. You get that cat.
Everybody gets to scream in their sleep tonight. anyway.
So Claudandis was the mascot for this lab that was doing the experiments on cats. And eventually they ran out of test subjects because the glue wasn't producing results and therefore funding was cut.
Mm-hmm. And then the doctor became increasingly drunk.
Yes.
So, like, every video is just, like, him drinking more and more terrible wine.
Yes. And so he starts testing on Claudandis, the cat, the mascot cat, and it works. And so he keeps testing and, like, messing with this poor cat, and eventually starts breeding this cat so he can continue testing beyond the cat's lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, when the video tapes start to get, like, fuzzy, he imagine like, the doctor says something about Claudandis talking to him,
mm-hmm.
and then that's where the videotapes end.
Yeah.
And then...
Quite the cliffhanger.
Yeah, well, then Khan comes in and starts threatening Francis again, and there's this whole chase scene, and then they find Khan's girlfriend murdered as well. And again, like, ratcheting up the gruesomeness, her throat is slit, and then so is her stomach.
Yes. And she was pregnant.
Yes.
So you get to see fetal kittens, like, just dead, and it's so, so disturbing.
Yes. I thankfully missed the fetal kittens.
You locked out so much.
Yes. Like, I understand, because they say it, and that's how I caught on to it, but I didn't see them.
Yeah, it's you didn't need it. It was pretty gross. It was very sad.
Mm-hmm.
Because they look like they were just about to be born. Oh. Like, it was very, very sad.
Yeah, and this is when Bluebeard and Francis... Well, Francis finds this old cat and follows him, like, into the tunnels beneath the city.
Yeah, they're like catacombs, basically, right?
If that's a joke...
It's not. It just happened, okay?
No, that's what he says in the movie, too.
Oh, okay.
Because Bluebeard just...
I didn't realize that.
No, yeah, Bluebeard follows him down, and he's like, these are catacombs, and Bluebeard goes, if that's a joke.
Womp, womp.
But so it turns out this underneath the city is a huge cat graveyard.
Oh, my God.
Like, there's just skeletons upon skeletons upon, like, skeletons of cats.
They just don't let up. I mean, like, and that must have been, like, what Francis was sleeping on the whole time. Jesus.
Well, it wasn't directly beneath his house, but...
Yeah. But it was close enough, Robbie.
Well, it's in the neighborhood.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, it's just right down the street.
Yeah, just over next year. And they meet... I think he calls himself, like, the gravekeeper or something.
Probably. I don't know. I don't really remember a ton about his character. I just know that he was kind of just an exposition cat, honestly.
Yes, he was.
Because we don't really see him after that. He's just sort of there to just be like, yes, well, this is where all the cats, this is where their carcasses were tossed after they were done being used in the test facility.
Well, no. So what his thing actually was is he was in the test facility too.
Mm.
And him and Joker and Cloud Dantas got freed at the same time. And so at some point they tell the old cat he needs to sit down there, and they start shoving bodies down there. Joker does. Ugh. So like they've been killing cats for a while. It's just now they threw them down this hole.
Oof.
And so at the point the movie starts, they've stopped throwing them down the hole, is what we learn from this cat.
Ah.
So this is like, this causes a whole nother thing, like, this is a whole, like, big... It's a much bigger problem than they realize. And because Joker's mentioned, they start suspecting Joker.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they go to look for him, they can't find him.
Yeah, they... I like that they keep you guessing with, like, who exactly is involved with it. Because, like, a lot of them have very good reasons for... As to, you know, why it could be going on, but...
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was interesting, like, how they kind of laid it out.
Yeah, again, like, lots of turns.
Yeah.
Super, like, well done.
Yeah.
And then I think he has some weird dream about the prophet.
Oh, yeah, like he's visited by,
God cat.
It was like some entity that he named Feliday because he ended up seeing the ghosts of all of his friends. Like how, or like all the other cats that had been killed, like their ghosts were basically there. He's just like, you may ask me, like, a question about whatever it was. Or he, like, it's almost like he was trying to tell him something more, but I don't think it quite got there.
Yeah, it was sort of a weird dream sequence with some, like, idyllic cat.
Yeah, something like that.
And then he wakes up and he finds this, like, Egyptian serval-type cat or something.
Oh, yeah.
And they...
That scene.
That scene.
Yep.
Whew.
And then they pork.
Yeah, so they bone.
Yeah, there's a very kind of, like, graphic cat scene. I mean, like, you don't actually see, like, you know...
genitals actually... or anything, but...
No, I mean, like, you don't see him, like, actually, like, you know, sticking it in. But, like, it's like if you were watching one of those videos on YouTube about, like, how do cats mate? And it's, like, literally everything. Like, him biting her neck and, like, her, like, writhing around and everything. And it's really uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was a really weird scene. And then, and then that he's asking her a bunch of weird questions, like, oh, you look really weird, I've never seen you before, what's your name? And she's like, honey,
I don't...
a little late for that question.
I like the cut of her jib.
Yeah, she was fun. She was interesting.
Yeah, she was interesting. But, yeah, like, so... they've even got that really, like, weird, like, after-sex thing that cats do where they're just, like, they completely avoid each other and just start licking themselves.
Yeah.
Like, that was just, like, that was close attention to detail. Kind of excessive, almost, but no.
Yeah.
I liked it. I appreciated that.
Yeah, I thought it was funny.
Yeah, it was good.
So then, like, he's just... the next we see of him, he's hanging out in a tub and... Bluebeard's giving him shit.
Yeah, just be like, man, you rake up sex. And he's like, yes, I do. Like,
yes,
it was
I do.
All day.
It was great. Come on, we got work to do.
Yeah, you should try it sometime, idiot.
You old codger.
What's wrong with your face?
He's missing an eyeball.
Yeah, he is.
That's what's missing.
He needs an eye patch, but if they made one for a cat, it would be the littlest eye patch.
The teeniest eye patch. That's what...
I'm going to plunder some booty. No, I can do better than that. Don't laugh at that.
It's appropriate that you would make that joke, though, because his name is Bluebeard.
I know, but your silence says volumes, and I realize how pointless that was.
No,
it's
actually just...
that was terrible.
I was just considering the multiple levels on which it works, but it's okay.
No, but I could have done better than that. Anyway, we're losing track. Enough about my god-awful jokes.
Yes. Humor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Girl.
That's
the fish from the Little Mermaid, anyway.
So then there's the whole thing where they're trying to find Joker, they can't find him. And Pascal's like, Francis is great, he found out that Joker's the one who's been killing everyone. And Francis is like, I don't know, that seems really simple. That's ridiculous. It's not too simple at all.
No, no, he's not my patsy. I mean, he totally did it.
Yeah, well, then he... Man, I don't remember how he gets to this conclusion. But he asks...
I mean, like Bluebeard, I'm looking at, like, the Wikipedia. It's like, no, they go into the house, remember? Like,
right.
It's like, this is after that he learns about Mendel's genetics.
Right, so there's, like, a... I think he asked about... Well, yeah, so
wasn't he getting chased by Kong or something? And then he stumbled into, like... Oh, that's what it was. Remember, he was getting chased by Kong because, like, Kong was pissed off at him or something. And he tried to, like, basically kill him with his two lackeys. But Francis
that was
gets
earlier.
Out of it. No. There was another time, like, later in the movie wherein, like, he's on top of, like, a house or something. And then he falls through... he doesn't fall through the window, like, with Felicity. This is at a different house.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Like, there was one part, like, I actually just watched a clip of it, where, like, he was with Bluebeard, like, they were trying to investigate a house or something, and he goes into a window or notices that there's, like, books or something around there, and then they find a book that's all about Mendel's genetics theory.
He's not being chased, he's just hanging out in their house.
Oh, okay, I thought there was a point... like, earlier in that, where he was in the basement and Kong was chasing him or something.
That's... So he gets chased in the basement.
He's essentially trying to rape him, I think.
Yeah, but that's much earlier.
I thought that was later. Well, anyway, whatever.
No, because once...
It's a short movie.
Yeah, well, and once he's like, listen, Khan, your girlfriend's dead and killing me isn't gonna fix it, but I'm trying to figure it out, Khan's like, oh, this guy's alright.
That's right, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just, like, hanging out in,
He climbs up a tree, though, doesn't he?
That's... So he climbs up a tree to get into the house
into the
where Joker lives.
Yeah,
and then they
right.
find Joker's body.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's when they... I don't remember...
I think that's when they find the books, and then they start reading about it, like...
Well,
because
they don't... I mean, he, like, pulls the book from a shelf in his owner's house.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah, like they're like powwowing afterwards.
Yeah,
like, after seeing Joker being dead, they're just like, okay, well, we lost our lead. Now what do we do?
I think you're right. Like, this is where I get confused. It's like, I remember the big moments. It's some of these, like, smaller bits in between, I get a little muddled.
Well, I think it's mostly because, I mean, like, the character of Francis, I like him, but a lot of what his dialogue is, it's a very talk heavy movie.
Yeah, and it's like almost soliloquizing.
Because, like, he just describes everything that's, like, happening and stuff, and it's, like, I get it, because at times it's kind of a complicated movie, but at the end of it's not super complicated to the point that you can't really keep track of it.
Yeah.
So. Like, you know, I mean, like, we kind of know what's going on, so.
Yeah. So, after they get this whole genetics thing down, he has this epiphany, and he's like, I know where we need to go, and so they go to Pascal's house, and... He's fucking with Pascal's computer.
Mm-hmm.
Pascal attacks Bluebeard while he's downstairs. And
well, Francis realizes that there's a consistency with all of the cats that were getting killed, is that I think most of them were men and they were sexually aroused when they were killed.
Right.
And
well,
because, like, he goes through it and he realizes that all of them are mixed breeds. Like, they're basically getting systematically killed because they were like, you know. Like, they weren't purebreds.
Yeah, yeah. What he essentially finds out is that Pascal has been practicing eugenics on cats.
Yeah, and he's been Claudia Dandis the whole time.
Yeah. So, he knocks, like, essentially, so what, one thing that we kind of skipped over, because it's a small moment, is earlier we find out that Pascal has stomach cancer and he's going to die.
Mm. Yeah.
And so...
To be fair, they only very briefly mention it in, like, one line.
Yeah, well, so
it does not come up that frequently.
No, but it is important, because once they realize that there are all these skeletons underneath the neighborhood, and now suddenly they're not being sent down there, they're like, okay, so the killer wants to be found.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is where Pascal kind of puts his cards on the table and says, listen... I think we need, like, I am trying to breed a better cat so we can kill all the humans and take over the world, basically.
Yeah, bam.
And,
yeah, kind of.
And you need to take over for me. And Francis is like, that's dumb, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
He knocks over the computer and it explodes and he starts a fire.
He destroys the entire program too, so everything on there was done.
Yeah, so then they have a fight in the fire.
Yeah, which, in my opinion, much more satisfying than than in The Lion King.
Yes.
Gonna go ahead and say it.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like it was better done.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
In, like, a similar... when was not... Was Lion King 94?
It was the same year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because Pocahontas... I wonder, do you think... Well, actually, no. Hold on. Yeah, because Lion King... I think they even came out at roughly the same time. Wasn't Lion King, like, a December movie? This came out in November.
You're asking the wrong guy, honey.
I don't know. Well, either way, like, it was just, like, I kind of want to play them back-to-back on one of those YouTube clip things, like, just to see, like, how much of it matches up. Because I feel like, pacing-wise, I'm just like, this reminds me a lot of The Lion King.
See, I don't get that, but...
Well, without the comic. When you cut that bit out.
No, because, like, The Lion King's pretty mostly straightforward. It only has a few turns.
No, I more just meant, like, the actual fight scene at the very end. Oh,
okay,
of it.
Yes.
Like, with Scar and Simba, like, going to town, just be like,
rah! Oh, yeah, but, yeah, like... that absolutely. Well, because I was getting vibes of that, and then, like, the fight ends with, like, Cloudandus jumps at Francis, and Francis goes under him and literally just slits him from, like, throat to tail.
Like, he's a frigging cereal box, like those little tiny ones you get when you go traveling on vacations with your family. Like, where you open them up from the middle. It's crazy. You see, like, his organs spill over everywhere.
Yeah, it was...
It's so gross.
Yeah, I told you that just every time they ratchet it up.
I'm wondering, like, were these animators just dog people? Like, do they just hate cats? Like, because it... it was so gross. Like, I don't like seeing animals get hurt. And after a while, I was just like, oh, thank God, they're finally done. Like,
yeah. And then I think the, like... Francis drags Bluebeard out.
Bluebeard.
Mm-hmm. And then the movie just kind of ends, I think.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's a...
and then Francis is just like, well, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go bone this Egyptian cat a few more times.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I mean, like, he literally just says, like, oh, well, you know, excuse me.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. That's essentially it.
Yeah, and then
it just ends on Boy George singing again.
Yeah. Like, I was also gonna make a joke about that. The theme song, which I actually enjoyed.
At first I was annoyed by it, but I was like, I had it stuck in my head all day today. I was just sitting there at my desk like, Philidae, Philidae.
See, I loved that opening scene, man. Like, I watched the first, like, 2 minutes before you find the first dead cat. And I was like, I am in. And then you find the first cat, dead cat, and I'm like,
nope.
I'm still in. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. Oh, my God. But, yeah, it's... Man, it was such a... What an interesting movie.
Yeah,
like,
man.
It's just like... I mean, okay, have you, like, what, okay, so you went into it completely blind,
oh, yeah.
Right? Because I literally just sent you a clip of, or I just sent you the link on Twitter. I was just like, hey, maybe we should check this out.
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing some clips of it in college, and yes, one of them was a sex clip, don't judge me. The other one was
Why would I
Francis's
judge
second
you
nightmare.
For that?
I don't know, because you're going to ask, oh, well, why were you watching that? Just be like, maybe I like German animation.
I would have assumed a friend showed it to you or you stumbled on it by accident.
Like, it was like it was an accident thing.
There you go.
I was like, until I realized what I was watching, and then I'm just like, oh no, they're going for it. And plus, it was still on YouTube, and they hadn't taken it down. I'm just like, well.
It's cat sex.
Just hot cat sex. Hot cat sex. Five for a dollar.
Oh dear.
Ugh.
Anywho, go on.
No, yeah, but, like, I remember seeing some clips of it in college, and I was just like, this movie is so weird. And then I watched the entire thing probably about 2 years ago, and I guess I was just, like, perusing stuff on YouTube, like, just trying to, like, look up clips of stuff or whatever, and Felidae came up again. I think I was looking up, like trippy animation or something. I do that from time to time. And I saw the thing come up again, and I started watching it, because I vaguely remember seeing it, and I was like, oh, shit, I should show this to Robbie. This would be right up his alley.
Shockingly,
and
it is.
And it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. What were your initial reactions to it? Like, was there a point, like, did you ever want to turn it off, or did you find it compelling for the entire duration
of
it?
Oh, entirely compelling.
Yeah.
I mean, like, so like I said, like, again, that first, like, 2 minute sequence at the beginning where it's singing and it's like, it's the, you know, establishing shots and all this is visually beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, it looks so nice.
Yeah, the color schemes that they decide to go through, especially because they look like they're moving in and around dawn or something.
Yeah, it looks like early in the day, so it's...
Yeah.
Like, it's
very pretty.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, the... Especially the backgrounds, like, how well-designed all the different layouts were, or, like, the layouts for all the different locations were,
mm-hmm.
was great.
Yeah.
It had a great sense of space. Like, everything was shot, obviously, from a cast perspective, so you get to see the grandeur of all the architecture and all the buildings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
I mean, and I like that the story was kind of like, it was messed up, but, like, the way the plot moved, and it was constantly, like, turning and pivoting, like, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Because, again, I've been reading these 600-page novels where nothing happens.
And they condense so much down into, like, half the time. Or whatever it is, like, however long it took to write the script.
600-page novel,
what is it? Like, oh, no, I guess that's true, because it's supposed to be one page of a script translates to a minute of screen time.
Yes, that's the general translation. But books read different than that.
That's fair.
So...
Like, I kind of want to just read the script for this and see how they describe the, like, the terrifying nightmare sequences.
Yeah, I would kind of love to see, like, the storyboards of this.
Mm-hmm. I bet you could probably find them. I might just Google them after this.
Maybe. So. Weirdly, I couldn't find much on this movie.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's got a very lengthy, detailed Wikipedia entry.
Oh.
And there's some information on the IMDb, but I think it's kind of suspect. Like, they're trying to say who some of the English voice actors were, but it doesn't appear to be the case. Otherwise, like, I would have seen them listed elsewhere, so... Like, there's just one thing that says, like, oh, Cary Elwes was the voice of Francis. And I'm just like, well, he voiced the cat in The Cat Returns, but I don't think that's him. It doesn't really sound like him. It kind of does, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know for sure. Like, it doesn't seem like they actually have a listing for whoever the English voice actor was.
Yeah, so... I don't know.
Hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it was a cool movie. I really enjoyed it.
Have you seen any movies that are in a kind of similar vein to it, like Watership Down or The Plague Dogs? Have you seen either of those?
No.
I saw The Plague Dogs. I'm familiar with Watership Down only because of Donnie Darko, but I never read the book and I've never seen it. I feel like I probably should, but Plague Dogs is on a very similar vein because it's also about animal testing. It's these two dogs that are in England that are, one is, like, the opening starts off with this dog basically being forced to swim to the point that it almost drowns, and then, like, being resuscitated and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then another dog was, like, operated on to the point that he's got this patch on his head from where I think they took like a piece of his brain out or something, or tried to put some kind of device onto his head.
Man,
so that,
clearly,
like, now he's like jittery and stuff.
Like, clearly, like, there was something in our psyche at the time. Like, animal testing was clearly a huge issue because you've got these two, you've got Plague Dogs.
Yeah, but Plague Dogs came out about 10 years earlier. It came out in 1982.
Yeah, what I was gonna say, like, Secret of Nim 2, which actually was, like, 85?
Yeah, 85.
So, like, that's a 10-year span in which we have, like, three different movies about three different species.
All getting tested on,
like, clearly there's something in our psyche that is not okay with it, that we have to deal with this.
And what more bothers me is how much of this stuff was going... Because, like, okay, so we're both in, like, our late 20s, but how much of this shit was going on? Like, I mean, obviously there must be much stricter regulations because of, like, PETA and just, like, you know, like, protection agencies for animals. Like, a lot of businesses now advertise that they either don't test on animals or none of their stuff was ever tested on animals.
Right.
But, like, if it's this prolific that it's necessary, not that it's necessary, but, like, that there's enough fodder for them to make three different movies out of it, that is so fucked up.
It's pretty fucking messed up, man.
Yeah, like, and, yeah, like, and, Plague Dogs is particularly crazy, because I remember seeing it on Netflix, because it was on there for, I think, about a year or so.
What?
I think it was on there, like, it's, because, like, the main characters are both really interesting, but they escape from a lab because everyone thinks that they're carriers of the bubonic plague. So, like, there's actual, like, there's helicopters going after them, there's police cruisers, like, trying to find them, everything. There's one scene where a dog, the smaller one named, I think it was Snitter. I think he's a fox terrier. He stumbles upon a man that's like just kind of in a field or something, and he's like freaked out because he's, you know, he's been trained to be afraid of humans, and the human's very friendly, but he's a hunter. Like, he's out there, and he's just like, "Oh, come here, boy. Here, I want to give you a hug." Like, he's like, and like being genuine,
yeah.
You know, like, and then Snitter's like, "Oh, that's awesome." Like, and so he jumps up, but what happens is that the guy's gun is pointing towards his face, and Snitter's foot hits the trigger, shoots him in the face, and kills him.
So he accidentally blows this man's face off.
He accidentally kills a guy just for trying to be affectionate, and it's so disturbing, because you see the guy, like, you see the hunter, like, grab his face and then collapse, and then, like, Snitter is just, like, he's, just, like, shivering, he's just, like, staring, he's like, "Oh, God, everything I touch, I kill." Like, it's just, like, it's so sad, because, like, these two dogs literally only have each other, and they practically get killed so many times. It's a great movie, but it's so, it's just so depressing. Like, I don't think I can watch it again. It's kind of like that, it's like Requiem for a Dream, but with dogs. Like,
I've not seen that.
It's really good, you should watch it, but it's just very sad. Yeah. I can't do it justice.
Yeah, see, and I don't think, that's why I don't think I'll probably ever watch Watership Down, because that just looks a little too much for me.
Especially because of how much you love bunnies.
I love rabbits.
You love them so much.
I love rabbits.
And you would have to watch all of them kill each other, and, like, Plague Dogs did the same thing, because I'm obsessed with dogs, and I don't like to see dogs get hurt or mistreat in any way, and that, it really irked me, because it pissed me off of, like, I didn't want to think about how much animal testing was going on, but it's like, you know what? Fuck it. We have to own it. We have to accept that this was what it is, and try to just be cognizant about making sure that the stuff that we do, the products that we buy, everything doesn't hurt animals. Like, plenty of people still get hurt. There's only so much you can do, but just, oh, God.
Yeah.
I think it was part of the reason I became a vegetarian for, like, 4 years.
Right.
But then eventually I was just like, man, I'm getting sick a lot. I think I need to eat more protein.
Meat is good.
I still like it. I'm sorry.
I'm not the one you need to apologize to.
Yeah, I'm not the best animal rights activist, but damn it, I'm trying.
Well, I mean,
I don't need this from you.
Fair enough.
No, I'm kidding. Anywho, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, you should see Plague Dogs. You should see Fella Day. Just see any, like, like, there's so much great adult animation out here, and this is definitely an example of one of them. Plus, it's on YouTube for free.
Yeah, you can watch the whole thing on YouTube.
Literally nothing to lose.
And it's in translation, so it's English.
Yep. The dub is actually pretty good.
It's pretty good. Like, there's only two things. There's two moments, and it's two because one moment repeated, that bugged me, and I understand why. It's just the diction is strange. When they go to Pascal's house, Bluebeard marks the house.
Oh, yeah.
And both times he says, "Bluebeard was here." But he doesn't say it like, you know, "Bluebeard was here." He's like, "Bluebeard was here," or something. Like, the cadence of it, the way he says it, sounds like he's sniffing it and goes, "Oh, someone else was here."
Like, he is like an owning sort of way, which is like, "Yeah, Bluebeard was here. Like, fuck you, other cat."
Exactly. Like, that's what I think it's going for, but it sounds more like he's realizing that someone else was here.
Yeah. And because, like, he's supposed to be kind of a dick, and, like, that's why I like Bluebeard, because, like, he's a glutton. He's not very nice, but, like, he goes along with Francis's whole investigation, so he's a really good ally to have.
Yeah, he's that real good, like, muscle bound sidekick.
Yeah, he's the brawn, and Francis is the brains, basically.
Yes.
So,
although Francis is a decent fighter, he's super nimble.
He's very fast.
Yes,
which is, I appreciate that. Yeah, like, they paint the humans as just, like, they're either like completely evil or complete idiots. It's a very like black and white.
Yeah,
sort of
I mean,
film.
The humans
like,
aren't the subject, right? So there's they're yeah. barely there, very light handed.
Yeah.
With the humans. Oh,
yeah, it's but as it should be with a film like this anyway. Yeah. So. Yeah, so I would highly recommend checking it out. It's an awesome movie. It's very, you have to have a very good stomach, or you have to not be very affected by gore or just, like, torture for animals.
Yeah, because, like, the scene, like, I think the one that messed me up the most was Felicity and the actual, like, lab scenes.
Oh, yeah, like, where they were, like, cutting open their heads and stuff.
Yeah, that shit, yeah. like, that messed with me.
Yeah, that was, especially because of, like when you actually see them pouring the stuff onto their heads and then, like, their brains boil, I'm like, nope.
Like, yeah, that was rough.
It was, especially because of how well animated it was. Because, like, you can hear, like, the cats, like, screaming in pain and, like, things bubbling, and it was so disgusting.
Yeah.
God, those poor cats. I know they're not real, but I still feel bad for them.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But it's
dark,
good,
dark
man.
Stuff,
check it out.
But, yeah. I like the idea of us doing more adult animation sort of stuff. Like, this is good.
Yes. I mean, the problem is it's hard to find good, like, good adult animation that is, like, good. Right, like,
well, yeah, and treats its audience with like respect, and like it, this movie does not talk down to you. Like, it explains a lot. That's the biggest issue that I have with it, is that it does more telling and not showing, which can be kind of distracting. But I get it. Like, I know why they did it.
I mean,
you know?
Like, what I'm saying, like, is, like, you know, it's hard to find good things that are sort of like mature themed without being like, you know, Cool World.
Oh, Jesus.
Which is adult themed and like super fucking weird, or like Sausage Party, which
I don't understand that fucking trailer.
Seth Rogen wanted to get this movie made for like years.
I'm like,
for some
why?
Reason he's like obsessed with this awful piece of garbage.
I don't get it, because, like, I just kept watching, or, like, okay, no, like, I watched the trailer once, I didn't laugh, I was just like, oh, okay, whatever, it's like, I feel like, but this sort of thing has been done, hasn't it? Like, it feels like this is not very, like, untrodden territory, like, I feel like, we
yeah, it doesn't feel like there's anything new going on.
I feel like I've seen, like, short animated, like, you know, features or something, or, you know, like, just, like, animated shorts that do essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
But it's, like, I don't think that sort of stuff is really that funny, and, like, to hear that it was getting such a strong reaction at South by Southwest, like, not to be a snob, I'm just like, guys, really? Like, I don't know. Like, it's, like, we've got movies like Felidae, and, like, I sound like such a hipster right now, I just want to punch myself in the face. Like, we've got stuff like Felidae, we've got movies like Song of the Sea, like, all these great movies, like, they're not necessarily made for one particular audience. Like, some of them are more adult, obviously, but you don't have to pander to the lowest common denominator to make good animation.
No, you don't, and that's the
thing,
like,
that irks me.
That was the thing someone was arguing, is like, listen, man, we support this movie so that more adult movies get made. And I'm like, no! Fuck you, man. Like,
yeah.
I will support good animated movies.
Yeah, like, I would rather support, like, a dozen How to Train Your Dragons than, like, one Sausage Party, Sausage Fest, whatever it is.
Yeah, I'm sorry, like, I'm not going to support them making lowest common denominator movies. Just like I didn't support Frozen because I was against it.
Yeah, frankly, I just didn't support Frozen because I thought it was boring as shit. I just didn't like it. I didn't like the characters. It patted itself on the back too much for being so progressive and so against the Disney norm. And I'm like, bitch, Enchanted did this shit like 7 years earlier. And the reason that they can't advertise it is because they wouldn't pay Amy Adams enough money to use her likeness for merchandising. That's literally the only reason they killed it off. It's all came down to their bottom line, and now they've got digital princesses that they can manufacture on anything.
Like, and they do.
And as hell, like, Band-Aids, like, fucking pinatas, like, pancake mix, everything. Like, it's absurd. Like,
yeah,
it's more about, like, the brand name recognition than actually making something of substance. And that really pisses me off, because there's so many talented people out there.
Yep.
And I just want to see good... I just want good shit to do, you know? I mean, like, that's it. Like, it's just so straightforward to me, but I don't know. Sorry, let me get off this soapbox.
Yeah, sorry, let me put this away.
Sorry, we're, like, you can tell that, like, animation has always been really important to Robbie and I. That's why we started the podcast to begin with, so, like, it's, and we like to talk about stuff that doesn't really get mentioned that frequently because of this exact goddamn reason.
Yes exactly.
Like, even, I mean, like, even stuff like The Emperor's New Groove were in, like, now it's kind of becoming a cult classic, but, like, at the time, like, nobody really saw it. Like, nobody really gave a shit about it. It just, like, it's a goofy movie was the same way. Like, they're technically made by two, like, or they're both movies made by a huge studio, but they were completely underplayed because of either competition or they didn't know what to do with it or it got stuck in development hell. All this crap. Like, I don't know. Man, I really like animated films.
Me too.
Okay. I think that's probably good for an hour. We're at about an hour, we're at an hour or so.
Yeah, I think. So I think that's it for us on this episode.
Damn, that was a fun one.
Yeah.
I had a great time on this one, Robbie. It's so good to talk to you again.
Yeah.
We haven't been, sorry if we haven't been able to get these out that frequently. It's a combination of we're both crazy ass busy and I have trouble getting the art out on time. Like, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, so we're gonna try, like, our goal at this point is pretty much, like, one a month.
Yeah, I think that's realistic for
and,
us.
And, like, you know, like, the thing is, like, you're not, like, it's gonna be really weird, because, like, by the time that this comes out, I will no longer be taking the class on American Literary Realism.
Oh.
Because it'll be so, over, I'm sure.
It's fine. Okay?
It's fine.
You know, it's fine.
But yeah, so I think that's it for us on Felidae. Yeah. As always, if you have any requests, feel free to hit us up on Twitter. Or
please do. We love them.
Yeah. I'm on Twitter quite a bit.
Yeah, I try to, but my job, like, I have a lot more surveillance now, so I kind of can't. Plus, my reception is garbage, so.
See, now, I have more hours at work, kind of. But less to do.
So, good way, bad way, basically.
Yeah, it's kind of both. It's a little good, a little bad. Well, now I have to be up early, early on Mondays and Fridays in a way that I didn't before, which is annoying. But it is amusing because my schedule looks like a chiastic structure, which is super weird.
Aww.
So.
That's so fun.
It is what it is.
That's all right. Okay, well, so, I guess we'll just kind of, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, we'll catch you guys another time.
Thank you, guys.
Yep,
appreciate it so much. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Have a great whatever it is that you're doing right now.
Bye.
Bye. No, it's fine.
It's fine. It's fine.
It's okay. Really. No,
it's fine.
It's fine. I mean, we didn't have to go to the Olive Garden. It's fine. Don't worry about it. No. Burger King is just as good.
They totally have endless breadsticks.